There we go, the dulcet tones of Fractal Zoom brings us up to exactly 1:02 in the afternoon. Kind of chilly, but heading for 54 degrees today, a warm day, and then freezing cold tonight at 24 degrees.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's what you get from the Zentech show that also does your weather for you. We are the computer show, the technology show, the gizmo show, and the show that tells you everything you never knew you needed to know about the things that make the world go round these days, for better or worse.
Exactly, with your host, Paul Castro.
And Mr. Glenn Farren. That's the last show, as Mark Stannard would say, of 07. No, Ought 7, he goes.
Ought 7, huh?
Yeah, are we hot? Are we cold?
A little bit. Maybe a little bit hot.
Yeah, so mics or temperatures, we mean.
There we go.
You're down.
Actually, both. The so studio's much being really nice. That's nice.
Yeah, perfect. We're going to be talking about technology for the next hour, as we usually do, on our fortnightly show, which is every 14 days. Last one of 2007. It brings us close to our 8th anniversary. We started December 1999.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's heading for the 8th year. I've counted the show somewhere.
I'm glad you've kept track of that.
Yeah.
Because I always forget. It's like people say, how long has the flea market been on? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember.
Donkey's years, yeah.
Yeah.
And how many millions of items have gone through it? We don't know.
Exactly.
We would like to thank somebody who signed up for us to help with this. His name is Alex from Sacramento. And we do appreciate what you do. So he's actually listening to some of the podcasts that we do and transcribing the show. So there's more information than ever by his actually listening and typing them in. Glenn also does notes, and I do homework. And those between the three of us, should be possible to figure out what the heck's going on. The search box on our site is useful, so if we've been babbling on and on about who knows what, here, have these.
Okay.
We've been babbling on and on about who knows what. You can usually put the word babble in there, and you'll find out what we've been going on and on about over the last year and a half that site's been up there.
Yeah. So thanks to Alex, and thank you, Paul, for creating that site and helping keep it going. We really appreciate that. If you want to give us a call, 265-9555, 1-800-355-5867. All things technology.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe Paul put up a best of 2007 on the website, and if you
almost
have any best of, let us know what's on the horizon for 2008. One thing I'd like to talk about during the show today is new HD TVs.
Oh, yeah.
LCDs, plasmas. I don't even know if they're selling CRTs anymore, the picture tube TVs, so they must be.
Thank goodness, pretty much gone, I think.
Yeah, and a lot of people have got them new for the holidays. And what does it mean? Does it mean that you're instantly going to have better TV? Well, maybe, maybe not, or a better picture.
We're talking about the presentation, not the content here.
Right, right. So if you want to give us a call about that, we can talk about that. I've fielded a few questions with folks helping hook up equipment, what to expect from their equipment and things like that. And I know I don't know a whole lot about it, but I think between us we can probably offer some advice and some solutions for folks if you're having difficulties.
Where did we end up with that? The plasma TV seems to be also consigned to the scrap heap of patents, although, I mean, there's still a valid large format, but typically now LCDs are being manufactured sufficiently large to cover the base that plasma TVs used to cover.
Exactly. And apparently plasma TVs are much bigger energy consumers.
Yep.
I was on Saturday night near a 52-inch LCD screen, and it was hot. It was producing some heat, but it was a beautiful picture coming in HD. It happened to have been that historic basketball game or hockey game or something.
Oh, even I heard about that, but I can't remember what it was.
Oh, it was football, but not soccer.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was a football game between New England, somebody or another, and somebody else, and the ones that needed to win won, and who knows what's going to happen after that.
So this is on a big LCD display.
Yeah.
And you're up to 42 inches? Is that what you told me?
That was a 50 or 52-inch screen, 52 which is
inch
very nice.
LCD.
LCD, yeah. And they actually have 60-inch LCDs. I've seen them.
Interestingly, you know the original problem of making these giant LCD screens, and that was the error rate for the pixels was relatively high. It had to get very low because you won't tolerate a few out pixels on a screen, and typically if it's more than one or two of them, people are going, hey, what's that? There's all colored dots on the screen there. So manufacturing a very large array of stuff increases the error rate as well. So that error rate having been reduced, it resulted in bigger LCD displays now.
Okay.
Are you seeing what's going on there?
Well, I am seeing what's going on, and I have the auto answer on, but you know what? The system's not auto answering. So
you got to just take them.
Yeah, we might want to go ahead and just take the phone calls as they come in. I can do that over
here.
Okay,
yeah, go ahead.
Let's go ahead and take our first caller. You're live on the air with Zentech. Hi.
Hi. Is this me?
That's you.
Okay. I have been bailed out by you guys on more than one occasion, so thank you so much. And I hope your new year is great for you guys.
Yours too. Thank you.
This time it's a G5, the 2.7 machine. And I've been reading on the internet that in order to install a dial-up RJ11 card into that machine, some of the people are saying, oh, you have to remove the processor. And others are saying, no, that doesn't even make sense, because why would Apple have that a build-to-order option only to have to remove the processor if someone ordered it, and that the little blank covering the RJ11 plug mm-hmm. is actually there, and you would just install the card, not necessarily the RJ11 filter plug.
Now, is this a G5 tower? Is that what this is?
Yeah, G5 tower.
So okay. It didn't come with the modem?
No.
So it's fairly relatively new. It must have been right before they came out with Intel CPUs, 18 months ago or something?
Well, yeah, it was the last G5 liquid-cooled before they came out with the Intel machines.
Right.
And the previous ones to that had a built-in modem.
Okay, two things.
For one reason or another, they made it a BTO when the 2.7 machine came out.
What you can do is, if it's equipped to take a modem at all, you can install it yourself, and it's not too hard. I'm not familiar with this particular one, but the previous G4 towers had a little rectangular modem in them, which is a proprietary one. It doesn't fit in a slot. It's about, I don't know, 3 inches by 2 inches, and has two screws holding it.
Okay.
And little, as long as you feel comfortable doing this stuff.
Right.
And the RJ11, which is the phone jack on the back, is blanked off, but I think exists. In other words, it's there, but it's covered so you won't accidentally plug phone cables into it.
Right.
The other thing, I found them used out on the internet. I don't know if Apple even still sells them. The odds are pretty high that the smart thing to do is actually go and get the USB modem that Apple sells that's $49 and looks like a thumb drive. Have you seen those?
Yeah, it's just that it takes up another USB port. And I found a card for the G5 that's only like $8.98.
Which is one that comes from a scrapped computer. Does that sound right?
No, it's actually a new one. Evidently, they have several, and they're an Apple reseller.
Oh, okay, then, yeah.
Letting go of them.
Yeah, and that's that thing I'm talking about, which is a little circuit board 3 inches by 2 inches. There are two or three species of that thing, and if it's an Apple reseller, you want to ask them, will this suit my G5 liquid cooled doodah, and see what they say.
Yeah, they listed my machine.
Then
so
you can't go wrong for that price, I would say.
Let's go back to what people are telling her, and that is that she needs to remove the processor in order to install this. I've never heard of such a thing.
My guess is it's a physical attribute because, again, I've not looked at one of these things, but there's a serious amount of cooling plumbing going on there. It may be a physical attribute that you have to get past something. Does that sound right to you?
You may have to remove something just to get this installed.
Well, the RJ plug is at the bottom of the tower.
It's behind a bunch of other stuff.
And so there are, I don't even know how I would get at removing the blank.
Have you opened the side of it and looked in there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've looked at some schematics on the Apple website, but it just seems to me that the part that goes back there is what they call the actual filter. It has its own part number that has the actual RJ11 plug in it.
Right, and it's got
And then there's like a little cord that comes from that that would plug into the card that you would install.
Does that exist, though? The socket and the cable exists and is blanked off or not?
Well, the socket is blanked off.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't opened up the machine to see if I can see the cord or not. But there was several, websites where people were talking about this.
Yeah.
And one person said, oh, no, it's there. You don't have to remove the processor to get at it. You just have to install the card and use the plug that's there with a wire.
That sounds right.
The card will probably.
The card that you would install.
You know, it may depend how nimble you are rather than whether you need to do it or not.
Yeah.
In my case, I've got fat fingers and bad eyesight, so at it all comes. You know who you might consult possibly about this is Motorcycle Michael of the Mac Shack opposite Meek's Lumber.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's in town there. But if you like a good puzzle, just be real careful when you do it to take the usual precautions against static and so on.
Yeah, because I've never slipped off one of those plugs, one of those cover plates.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Blank cover plates that hides the RJ11 socket.
Typically going to be okay as long as you leave it plugged in but switched off. I can't remember if these Macs have got an on-off switch. Typically I leave a computer plugged into a power strip and turn the power strip off, which leaves the power cable connected and the ground lead running to the case, which is what you're doing to try to prevent static damage.
Right, right.
So don't take our word for it if you kill yourself and you don't see 2008, but it's what I'd do if I were me, which I am.
Okay, thanks, you guys.
Right, you're welcome.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye.
Interesting call.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. As ever.
Yeah, let's see if our outer system is working. It isn't, so we're going to drop that call.
Mm.
This happened a couple of weeks ago in the middle of the flea market, but then last Thursday the flea market worked fine with the
We're not going to reset system. The whole equipment. Last time we did that, we had a Christmas display. It was the pre-Christmas show,
yeah.
And our Comrex phone system lit up like mm-hmm. you wouldn't believe. It was wonderful.
It was. Caller, you're live on the air with Zentech. Hi.
That's great. Hi. Glad to be on the phone. I have a TV question for you.
Okay.
Said something pretty negative about those plasmas. I'd like to know what the information is about them.
Well, I've just heard that they use much more energy. Now, I've also heard, and this is just hearsay, not anything that I've read in any magazines, that they probably are not going to be lasting very long. That
right.
their longevity is fairly short.
Okay, Their longevity in terms of their use in households versus
yes.
their sellability in market.
Oh no, their use in household. How long its lifespan.
Yeah, they suffer burn-in, I'm told, which is that eventually you'll get part of whatever image is most often on the screen leaving behind shadows.
Uh-huh.
And most TV stations now have either, NBC logo or the Comedy Central logo that stays on your screen all the time. So that's a possibility, although they have it kind of translucent, but I think that could still cause burn-in.
Yeah, and they are heavier. One of the reasons for getting away from a CRT is you're trying to save weight so you can easily tote it around without suffering a hernia. So they do weigh a lot more than LCD machines.
Okay, But in terms of shelf life... Do you have a guesstimation as how long they last?
Meaning unused?
Used. How long they'll perform. I haven't read any reviews, so I don't know exactly, but the word is out that their lifespan is not...
It's like 10,000 hours or something?
Uh-huh.
So after 5 years, you begin to notice something.
Oh, okay.
And unfortunately, most consumer electronics, most people go, 5 years, that's old, replace it. Which I don't like.
Yeah. Okay, are you going to talk more about the different kinds of TVs then?
Well, basically, those are the two types of TVs. And then what type of reception do you have now? Do you have cable, satellite? Do you just have off-air reception?
Well, we just moved into a new house, and we don't have any yet. And we just bought a 60-inch plasma that we can return. So I'm real curious to hear what you have to say about. Probably we would have satellite.
Well, okay. The bottom line is that, as Glenn said, the maximum size of an LCD display is 50-inch. So
I've seen them at 60 and larger.
Okay.
The LCDs have increased quite a bit. Now, you're going to pay a lot more money, and that's one thing. And originally, the plasma TVs were more expensive. Also, they had the larger screen size. But now the LCDs, especially in the larger sizes, you're going to be looking at probably $3,000 to $4,000 for a 60-inch
okay.
unit.
Depending on where you got it, you could get a satisfaction warranty, which is a funky thing that exists in American consumer society, where if you don't like it after 2 years, you can use that credit towards something else. Some retailers do that.
I'll go check with Best Buy then.
It's not the warranty. It's just a guarantee of satisfaction that allows you to do something within a fixed period of time about it.
And before the next show, which actually won't be on the 14th because of Martin Luther King Day, so we'll be back on the 28th of January, I'll try to go to the library and get some more information on the LCD screens mm-hmm. and the plasma screens and be a little bit more informed as far as their lifespan.
That's great. Well, thanks so much. I love your show.
Thank you for calling
in.
Bye-bye now. Let's go. Excuse me. Go on to the next call, which is right there. Caller, you're live on the air. Hi.
Hi. my name's Mark, and calling in. I love your guys' show.
Thank you.
And I'm also just wondering, is it possible? 20 years ago, when I was driving through the Central Valley, what did I hear? Some version of this same show, or
not us? You might have heard something off of KQED. I can't remember the name of it, and I'm trying to remember now. Garcia was one of the fellows on, but they had a PBS computer talk show I used to listen to quite often.
Ah,
was there a British guy?
I can't. It's been a while.
But it was talking about computer stuff.
Yes,
we're fairly common. I hate to say it. I'd love to be unique. Somebody contacted us and listed our show amongst across the country about 1,200 other phone-in computer shows.
I see.
Not all of them, some of them on commercial stations, all sorts of different combinations. So we're not that uncommon. And, of course, it's a great topic for a radio station. As soon as I was certified, I got in here and I had a computer show.
Uh-huh. Well, the reason I'm calling in is sort of a computer hygiene update or something. Am I doing what I should be doing, and should I do what I think I might want to do?
Mm.
I'm running my PC box. It's about 6 years old now. It's a you know, an AMD processor on a ASUS motherboard with a couple hard drives.
Right.
And I'm running Windows 2000, and I do some spreadsheets, AutoCAD, a little 3D modeling, internet stuff.
Right.
And this machine's important to my business. I back up my data files manually to the second drive.
Right. Okay.
I have a pretty stable box, although on occasion I'll get some odd, you know, freeze ups and reboots.
Right.
And generally I find about once a year I just have to go through this laborious process of wiping the drive and reinstalling the operating system and all the applications manually.
So you do that routinely even if it doesn't need it, just to stay ahead of the game?
No, I mean, generally I find that about out at a year, they start to get instability, so I kind of do it routinely, yes, but
right.
It kind of goes hand in hand.
Right.
So, but I'm kind of wondering, you know, should I buy myself a new PC from Dell and get, you know, XP professional, or, you know, should I try and keep up with the times, or just kind of stay with what I got?
You know, if you're using this for business, if you get a new computer, you're going to be so much happier with it. It's going to be much faster than your six-year-old computer. And either XP or Vista. Vista isn't horrible. It just isn't great. and I'm not sure how long Dell is going to continue to offer XP.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to do it while you can.
Yeah, they might have limited machines that have XP available on them. Mm-hmm. I know you can't go in and just choose anyone you want. The only certain ones have that option available.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing
yeah.
is XP Home or XP Pro. Networking, I guess, is a little bit easier in XP Pro.
It is. You know, is this machine on the internet, caller?
Sure.
If it is on the internet, Windows 2000 has got two big gotchas, which are not very nice. One of them is that Internet Explorer has no pop-up blocker in it. You have to add that to it.
Well, I'm using Firefox.
Oh, you are. Okay, so that takes care of that.
Yeah.
And there's no reliable firewall for 2000. You have to tinker around a lot to get it blocking stuff through a firewall. It doesn't do it natively.
But I sit behind
so you've got like a router or something.
A NAT router for my DSL, right?
Right, so that does the job reasonably for you.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if 2000 is still supported by Microsoft with their updates. I've seen updates coming in, but whether they've culled those
really?
Now or not. Yeah, I'd say if you have to reload it every year, that's a bit extreme. XP I have to reload every 2 years, and I use mine every day.
Right. So what I'm hearing is maybe it's getting to be time to let go of 2000.
I would say so. And, you know, if it's used for your business and you add together the lost minutes every single day from waiting for the slower CPU from a 5 or 6 year old machine and the reload you need to do every year and the somewhat increased chance of being invaded by something wicked,
don't worry,
if you put value on that, it will probably pay for a newer Dell.
I see. And what about the... Well, then you pretty much answered my question. Is something going to smoke on my PC? Should I do that anyways because the hardware is going to be bad someday?
They have this failure statistic called MTBF, mean time between failures, which is the average length of time it takes for half of the units to fail. And most hard drives have got a mean time between failures of, I think it's 20,000 hours. So if you use the machine 5 or 6 years, by that age, half of them will have failed. You happen to be in the unfailed half. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed to fail as soon as 20,000 hours comes by.
Yeah.
But the probability of failure is higher in used equipment. When you get brand new equipment, just like infant mortality, there's a shakeout period of maybe a month where if something's going to go wrong, it tends to happen within the first 72 hours, which is why they're burned in, or the first month as you use it.
Uh-huh.
And after that, your reliability factor climbs radically.
Another thing, too, just to point out to you, with an older computer, your power supply could go bad, fans could fail, you could have a heat issue, and a heat issue can destroy both of your hard drives. So although congratulations for backing up, because 90-plus percent of us probably don't do it as often as we should, I would really recommend that you back up externally. And if you get a newer machine, it's most likely going to have a DVD burner in it, and it's just as easy either to write CDs or DVDs, depending on how much data you have to back up. You don't need to back up your whole computer or your programs, your data.
Here's a good question for you, caller. Is this your principal business computer? Do you have any other?
I personally don't. There's someone else here with a PC on, right. on my local network.
Yeah, typically if you're using your PC for business use, you should never rely on one computer. I mean that. I don't just mean if you've got a Mac, then you only need one. You should definitely get a second machine somewhere or another machine you can rely on before you have to. In other words, if this goes down, you go, oh, we'll just get another computer now. Well, at that point, you've then got to start pulling data off a machine that's caved in. Far better to do it before you have to.
So while this one's still alive, getting a new one is a good idea.
And that's your second machine.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there you go.
There we go. We're feeding into the American economy. Don't you love us?
Yeah, more PC stuff. Well, I've held out, so.
Yeah, and consider a Mac, we've got to say. You know, it's a valid alternative.
Unbelievable.
All right.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. Thank you. Good afternoon, caller. You're live on the air. Let me apologize to folks who do call in. Our auto answer isn't working. I'll have to take a look at that a little bit later, but you're live on Zentech. Hi.
Hey, Glenn. Lee Osborne here.
Hey, Lee. How are you?
Oh, good. Hey, for the callers that were interested in the LCD versus plasma TV, there's a couple of the various consumer outfits, Consumers Union, Consumer Report, that sort of stuff, that have done some pretty extensive testing, and so have some data available, and some of it is based on like annual surveys from users and things like that. And I think that might be available on the web. One of them would be at like a Consumers Union or something like that.
Oh, consumerreports.org is probably a good place
or
to check.
Something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And online you can get just a little bit of a ditty on stuff. If you are a subscriber, it's $19.99 to get the online. Also, if you're not a subscriber, then online only is $30, basically. And the library is a great resource. I went in there recently looking up ladders, and they'll hand you the book. You can go over and copy a page if you need to reference something for future use. So that would be a good thing also.
Hey, you know, Lee, what I just found? I put on Google right here to look like I knew what I was talking about, plasma versus LCD. That's how it works. A lot of it works like that way. And it came up with a very good-looking CNET site called Home Theater Resource Center, plasma versus LCD. And they've laid it out like a spreadsheet with a left and a right, plasma. Here we go. It says plasma upper limit, as Glenn said, 42 inches to 65 inches is apparently the largest now. On the right-hand side, it says they're now parity. The biggest plasma screen is 65. The biggest LCD is 65.
Okay, good.
So there's a nice set of comparisons there, Lee.
You just Googled plasma versus LCD?
Those words, yeah, the three words, plasma versus LCD. They've got an interesting thing I hadn't thought of. It says LCD is not so good at off-angle viewing. A plasma display you can see from all over, it says.
I'll tell you what, from these LCDs that I've been looking at, the off-angle viewing is excellent.
Oh, good. Meaning if you look at anything except straight on perpendicular.
Yeah, since I wasn't a hockey fan the other night watching that game, I was relegated to like the edge of the couch, you know, off the arm of the couch. And so I was looking at it from the side, but I could still see I could still see great.
Check this out, Lee, for how wise I seem. It reminds me that a plasma display has essentially got a glass front, so it's reflective.
Right.
Whereas the LCD is matte display, which means the glass one is more problematic if you've got light sources in the home.
Well, I've noticed that. I've got an LCD, but it's a smaller one, about 32 inches.
Right, and they've got a matte finish, which doesn't do that.
A matte finish, so I get the glare. And mine's a couple years old, and you know, unless you're like at a really sharp angle away, you can generally see it pretty well from anywhere in the room. So,
okay, I put that link up on our site, Lee.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right,
bye now.
Bye bye now. And let me get over there and we'll go click. So if you do want to give us a call, 265-9555, 1-800-355-5867. Once you do get one of these fancy new TVs, there's been a TV commercial on that I've been hearing the last couple of months, and somebody's asked me about it and says, did you know that in February 2009, just a little bit over a year away, regular analog TV broadcast will go away? And so if you have an older set, they'll say some sets will not receive the new digital signal, and you'll have to have an upgrade in order to do that.
Or a box.
And that's what they're talking about, is a box. So somebody was talking to me about that, and I believe all TVs today are digital tuners. Is that correct?
The digital tuners, but there's a second issue about what exactly they tune into. Do you remember a few years ago you'd get VHF and UHF TV, mm-hmm. which is channels 1 through, I don't know, 14 or 15, and if you got cable, it was an extra set of boxes and you had to get a cable box.
Right.
Then a few years ago, all TVs were cable-enabled because they covered the extra range.
Right.
The same thing will happen here, which okay. is that you may have a digital tuner, but it may not be able to cover the whole scope. The box shouldn't be that expensive. It's pure digital electronics in there with an antenna input and a, what do they call it, DVTV output.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And presumably they'll have an adapter to put out composite video for your older TV.
Right.
I'm guessing. Haven't seen one yet.
Yeah. And then reception. If you get one of these fancy new either plasma or LCD high-definition TVs with the new 1080p, that's the lines of resolution, I guess.
Yeah. It's dots across the top.
Are you going to have...
Oh, excuse me. It is lines. You're right.
It
Sorry.
Is. Okay. Are you going to have, you know, this wonderful picture? Well, it depends on your input, where you're getting your signal from.
Right.
If you're just receiving it off air, you're going to have a nicer picture than your CRT or your picture tube TV because it's a new technology. But in order to get the best picture and HD, you'll either need to get an HD antenna and see if you're able to get reception on that. Or with the cable company or with the satellite providers, you can order HD service. It's not part of their standard package. Their standard package is a digital signal, but it's not high definition. So that would look better than their standard signal would probably look better than your off-air reception from your antenna. And then with the HD, then you get the high definition, and that makes the full use of the new TVs and their capabilities. And of course, it comes down to cost. There's an extra cost for all of that.
They've got an interesting point here. Again, looking at that CNET site, if you want to see the review page that we found without doing the Google search and ending up somewhere else, please go to zen.kvmr.org and click shows and today's show. And there's the CNET site there. Very good point I hadn't thought of. They say that plasma TVs are uniformly relatively high picture quality.
Mm-hmm.
LCD displays cover the range all the way from not very good to very good, spanning the quality you can expect from a plasma TV. In other words, when you buy a plasma TV, they're always good picture quality.
Okay.
But the cheaper LCD TVs are not very good. Huh. Only the upper-end ones are as good as or better than plasma displays. Do you
okay.
see what I mean?
So they can be better than plasma displays.
They can be better and they can be worse, but you'll never get a bad plasma display
right.
picture-wise.
Okay.
That's a weird thing to consider. So you might go, oh, this LCD is not as good as my plasma. Well, that's because it was a lower grade one. They've said that the cheaper ones have got a poorer black quality. They're not able to turn the transistors off to make black really black on the mm-hmm. display. Plasma TVs are always very good at having a high contrast ratio and nice dark black.
Okay.
Good
I
point.
I wonder if you can get a plasma TV with a matte glass screen. That would be interesting.
Then probably it starts creating not. Issues where it blocks some of the light that's coming through. But exactly. the thing is actually an evacuated tube, so it's physically... I'd say physically and environmentally, which it doesn't mention here, a bit more of a problem because it's an evacuated glass envelope, so mm-hmm. there's more stuff to recycle, more materials other than recyclable plastic and so on. So we are thinking these days about what happens at the end of these lifespan. I was incorrect about one thing. I thought their life wasn't as good. It says here in both cases 60,000 hours or about 20 years of used use if used 8 hours a day. Who watches that much TV? But that's what it says. Hours a day.
Know, when I'm home, I'm sitting. I'm not sitting in front of the TV. I'm sitting in front
Glenn.
Of the computer. Or reading, and the TV is always
I
on
can't
in the background.
Believe you, Glenn.
It's like I'm always surprised. I'll hear a commercial. I'll go, what does that mean? And then 4 or 5 days later, I'll actually see the commercial, and then it makes sense when I see the visual along
oh,
with
I
the
see.
Audio.
So most of KVMRs will burn or destroy their TVs. You have it on and ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. That's. I guess that's...
I'm an odd duck here at KVMR, so...
That would be true. You know, it's... You're drawing your breath to say something good.
I was just going to give the time, 1:36 in the afternoon, and
52
remind
degrees.
Folks that we do serve the Truckee Tahoe Donner area on translator K286 AN, Truckee 105.1 FM.
Yeah, thanks are due. At the end of every year, sometimes we all inevitably try to sum up the past year and look forward to the next one. And my first thanks of all go to KVMR itself, the most spectacularly wonderful resource this community could possibly have. And the people who make it possible, which, of course, are those that contribute to it and finance the operations of it. We're volunteers here. 160 broadcasters now?
Oh, something like that at least.
You're looking
and
over there.
Oh, you know what? Jimmy's not going to be in today. John Rumsey's coming in. Because I was sitting here thinking Jimmy usually comes in and grabs the log and fills all that out.
Not here.
While we're on the air. So
he's always got a little chart, talk to mother at 3:30.
Yeah.
So that's not there. And especially at the station, I'd like to thank David Levin. That's a remarkable general manager. And makes all sorts of things possible. And he filled very large shoes when he took over from Brian Terhorst. But when I talk to him, it makes me realize why I'll never manage anything, and he will. He's just got personnel skills I can't even begin to describe.
Mm-hmm.
He does with people what we do with computers, which make them work.
Yes. And isn't that amazing?
What a skill. And Sandy Brownford doing the transcriptions of the flea market when Glenn lets me loose on that. Glenn Farr, thank you, sir. It's been a wonderful 8 years.
Oh, thank you so very much. You have become not only a great resource, but a great friend. And we have a lot of fun together.
Holy crow, we do too.
You know, people tell us all the time, or they comment to me, you know, you guys just sound like you're having a great time. And we really are.
It's amazingly difficult to put it on when we're not and we hate each other. You know that? It's a bit like, what was it? It wasn't Laurel and Hardy. It was a comedy duo that actually in real life hated each other.
Was it Abbott and Costello? No, I'm not sure.
We love each other, so it's fine. It shows. It comes through. John Button for the website, the perfectionist in all of us. John, if you can ever achieve perfection, can you tell me how you did it? Because he's always going for it, and he's duty-bound to make the website what it is, and he's received little enough thanks because it works most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
He hears from the squeaky wheels when it works. People don't say much. John, thank you. Thank you.
And Mr. Patterson, P2.
P2, our engineer at the station,
Paul
who
Patterson.
Makes all things analog possible, and a bunch of digital, too.
And saved my butt 2 weeks ago when I screwed up the phone system.
Screw it up, Glenn. You and your guilt. I don't know.
Yeah.
It works now. And outside of the realm of technology, Jessica, I can't tell you how much you make my life worthwhile. And also at home presently making life better is Kathy Mariah. And the two, Dylan and Dominique, you know who they are.
Yeah, and little kiddies.
The life from this time last year is about 6 bazillion times better, so thanks to those guys. And Natana and Janik, Natana for being everything I forgot you were, and you know who you are. That's my ex.
Okay.
So thank you, dear.
How about the new chickens in your life?
Oh, there's a couple of chickens out back. I don't know their names, but they're out there in the rain and snow.
Okay.
And they seem to like it, little bantam chickens.
Are they chickens or roosters?
They don't crow. They're chickens.
They're chickens.
And once in a while they go, turn out an egg.
How big is a bantam egg?
About a quarter of the size of a regular one. It looks really funny in a saucepan. It's a little tight. It looks like a doll's house cook-up. You think you should cook it on one of those little plastic stoves that little girls have, you know? And also, Summer, the tiny apocalypse. And I finally figured out what it is I learned. So she knows who she is. Mm-hmm. I hope things go better for you. And remember, there's more alive people than dead that we know right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cryptic message, isn't it?
Yeah.
Several people have died in my life this last year. They know who they are. And we'll join them all too soon, I guess. Sounds kind of fateful, doesn't it?
Did you hear the fellow up in Oregon? He passed away, I believe, in October. And he arranged with one of his friends to... He created Christmas cards and addressed them and had them all ready to go out and arranged with a friend to mail them just before Christmas so that people got a card with a return address of heaven.
I don't know why people don't think there's supposed to be a sense of humor about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is one wonderful thing, is death is the ultimate healing.
Mm-hmm.
However it comes about, sometimes it's horrible, sometimes it's sad, sometimes it can be very peaceful and beautiful. Always it makes those left behind a little sad and morose, but it is the ultimate healing. It's our moving on in the universe, and so I try to take on that attitude about
it. We're not a ceremonial society, but once in a while, when I've had a trusty piece of equipment that served me well, it does to have a little ceremony. It may sound weird coming from a tech guy, but there's always a ceremony you can have, even if it's to take it down to the transfer station and pound it to bits so they can use the bits and pieces out of it. Don't say I said that, but there's certain equipment you shouldn't pound to bits and others that absolutely deserve it. But a little ceremony in our lives would go a long way.
Yeah. Talk about pounding. I've got so many hard drives that I've promised to destroy for people, and I've really got to get to work on that because I'm not going to plug them in and go through the wiping process of 6 or 7 hours. I'm just going to get my little Torx screwdriver out, probably the electric one, and
make
open
them
up and make wind chimes out of those platters.
The other thing you can do is use an oxygen-propane thermic lance and melt them down, which somebody did on the internet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, recover that data, and they just show this pool of molten alloy and goo.
You know, I've never been inside of a hard drive, so is it just one platter, or are there several?
A little stack of them. The neat ones are if you open up laptop hard drives, the platters are not made of metal. They're made of a ceramic material, which I'll call glass, and you hang them on fishing line as wind chimes, which a lot of people do. And being made out of glass, they get a beautiful, clear sound.
Oh, that would be nice. Yeah, I have a couple of old laptop battery or laptop hard drives.
You better make sure you open the right one. I almost opened the wrong one once. I had the new one and the old one it was replacing, and I'm going, all right, well, let's open up the whoops.
Now, a reminder, we're bantering on about banty chickens and things like that. You can give us a call, 265-9555, 1-800-355-5867.
Let's celebrate the passing, as of February 2008, of the venerable Netscape. AOL, Time Warner, is pulling support for Netscape and not writing any new versions and recommending anyone using it go over and use Mozilla and Thunderbird, which are kind of lookalikes for it. They were derived from the same code base, or derived from the same look and feel, I should say.
Yeah.
It's over for Netscape.
Okay. Thank you for telling me that. I have several people who have just held out.
What it'll also mean is no more security updates. AOL Time Warner, that whole caboodle, bought Netscape in 2000, right before the top of the dot-com whiz, before the boom, for, I think, $4 billion, some astronomical sum of money. Unbelievable.
Mr. Andreessen became very rich, although he probably was prior to that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that went through its machinations, didn't it?
It's interesting how people can make money. I never paid for Netscape. You didn't have to. You could send in and get a disk for it, but you could download it for free always.
You could download it for free, but you're not supposed to transfer it to other people. Now, I had an internet service provider business back in 1996 when Netscape was going, and it cost, I think, $40 a pop to have a customized floppy disk with Netscape version 2 with a dialer, customized to the internet service provider. That's how they made the money. But, of course, I think we ended up $6,000 in debt to them for all the copies that had been made, and we signed an affidavit saying how many had been copied and all the rest of it. And then come 2000, guess what? The business started to run into difficulties, and we had to negotiate lower payments. We weren't responsible for Netscape's death, but it really didn't help.
Right, right.
So there you go.
The phones were just ringing, and suddenly they went away. So give us a call back if you were calling in. Also, I have a friend who's having trouble, and I need to call him today and ask him about this. AOL 9.0, 9.1, or AOL VR, Vista Ready.
Yeah.
You'd open it the first time after installing it. It opened at work. You'd close it down or turn the computer off, turn it back on the next time. It just sat there and did absolutely nothing. So if anybody has an experience with AOL on the new Vista, give us a call, and I'd love to chew on your ear a little bit about that and see what's going on.
And as Glenn said when he called to me, we're discussing why you would need it. Of course, some people have historically got an America Online email address. You don't need to install their software in order to continue getting their electronic mail. You go to AOL.com and sign up there to get your email. You won't get the other stuff, but you'll keep their email.
People are used to that. I mean, because that was an alternate browser, you know, a whole package all unto itself. Now the phones are going crazy. So let's go with this next call here at 1:44 in the afternoon. You're live on the air. Hi.
Hey. So I kind of bumped my laptop this morning. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, okay. And it didn't bounce when you bumped it, did it?
No, it did not bounce.
Okay.
And my husband tried doing a recovery on the hard drive, and it kind of got hung up in the first little bit. So what's your thoughts at this point?
Was it running when you bumped it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, not good.
Yeah, not good. It's probably kaputs. Now,
okay. How valuable is the data on it? And you can take that any way you like.
Well, since I wrote it, it's like better than platinum. I mean, you know, my gosh.
Right. The reason I'm saying that is the advice from data recovery experts who will take in a CD, take in a hard drive and recover it is don't run it anymore. If you want them to get the data back off it, don't try any other tricks on it. Don't turn it on. Don't run the hard drive. It will just continue to scrape and scour stuff if you're not careful.
And that process of data or of recovery isn't necessarily what you think it is. Sometimes it actually goes and rewrites the whole hard drive. It'll format it and then try to put the operating system back on it, which means everything will be gone unless you're a government, you know, secret service agent and know people beyond heaven and can get the data off of it. So just from what you've described, your hard drive's probably damaged in some way, and what I would recommend is get a new hard drive. They're not super expensive. You can get one between $50 and $150.
Oh, okay.
You can probably update the size on your computer or the size of the hard drive. Install your new operating system, your old operating system newly on that hard drive, and then get an external case for your old hard drive and see if you can't hook it up and not booting from it. Just be able to look at it and see and hopefully find your data.
Do you hear any noises out of this thing?
No.
So no clicking or anything?
No.
Yeah. Also, check the warranty on the laptop.
Yeah.
The what on the? Oh, the warranty.
The warranty.
Right.
Is it a Dell by any chance?
No, it's HP.
HP. Okay. I don't think you can readily tell the age of it, but if you've got some way to figure out whether it's inside any kind of warranty, that could make a difference. They're usually reticent to support replacing a hard drive that's the result of bumping.
Do you know how long ago you purchased it?
I think it was a couple of years ago, but yeah, I don't remember exactly.
Well, if you can find that out, also remember if you used your MasterCard, Visa, American Express, probably some of the major credit cards in their platinum accounts or gold accounts will often double the manufacturer's warranty up to an additional 1 year. And again, you know, bumping is not necessarily covered, but it certainly wouldn't hurt to look into that. And you might be able to have it repaired under something like that, or at least cover the cost of the replacement parts.
Great.
And they're not too hard to the hard drives are not too hard to remove and put in once you find out where they are.
Great.
That cover the bases, huh?
So good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. Bye now.
And
bye-bye.
back up. we talk about that not often
beep,
enough.
Beep, beep. That's back up.
Yep. Caller, you're live on the air with Zentech. Hi.
Hi. What's your opinion on external modems for dial-up?
They're fine. I use an external modem for my computer.
Usually more reliable and better than internal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got lights on it.
Okay. Do you recommend any brand or just take your
These days, it's more what you can get. They're not so common anymore.
No, they're not. Mine is a Diamond Supra shotgun modem, which actually can take two dial-up lines or two dial-up phones or phone lines into it, and it'll make two phone calls and then combine instead of the maximum 56K, it'll double whatever it can do.
I don't use it that often.
No.
No, it was all the vogue for a few years.
Right, and I picked it up from somebody, secondhand. So it just.
What's the reason for wanting an external one? Is it because you cannot use an internal one, or it's broken, or what?
I want XP, and you've already mentioned something earlier. Dell seems to be the only one that gives you an option of Vista or XP.
All right, yeah.
But it's appears to be only on their Vostro, and it doesn't have a modem that will take dial-up.
Okay, in that case, the reason I'm asking this is that any modems that you still can get now are, you've got the choice of serial, which is the old style, which I would avoid, and a USB modem.
Oh.
So the USB modem is a lot easier to deal with than mucking about with serial cables and nonsense like that.
Okay.
So if you can get a USB external modem, great. I've got a Supra 56K USB modem, which they probably don't even make anymore. Supra doesn't even exist. It's some other company now.
Okay.
Or you can get Staples carries them up here. Most any retailer that has computer equipment will have internal modems. They're not too hard to install, and I'm pretty sure there'll be a slot on that computer that'll take one.
Yeah, it depends on your level of comfort, yeah.
On laptops?
Oh, no. Okay, sorry.
Right.
it will be a laptop.
Interesting. Oh, okay. So this laptop has no modem, which is...
That's interesting.
Yeah, Apple's done that for some time, and you have to buy this $49 external USB modem that looks like a flash drive.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So as long as you don't... Well, see, the thing is, if you're out on the road with this, what you're after then, the other factor for an external modem is it should be compact.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't lug around a great lump of stuff.
Okay.
Some modems don't need external power. They take their power from the USB port, so I'd go for that first. And miniaturizing would be the other factor.
All right.
So I haven't got anything in mind, but you're after physical dimension of the thing because you're taking it on the road, I assume.
Right.
And the fact that it's powered off the USB port, not off an external power supply.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting. We don't get too many of those questions anymore.
No. Thanks for calling in. Happy New Year to you.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Caller, you're next on Zentech here at KVMR 150 in the afternoon, and we have just a couple of minutes to go. Hi. You're live on the air.
Hi, Glenn.
Yes.
Happy New Year. This is Ross.
Hi, Ross. Paul's here, too.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Ross.
I'm glad to hear you guys doing this wrap-up show and still taking calls from people with computer problems. I don't have any problem right now, except I've got such an old computer I'm still looking at upgrading.
Uh-huh.
The biggest thing that I see as a drawback to buying a larger laptop is the screen size. And the larger you go, the heavier the thing becomes. So it's kind of like a... You want to be able to take it with you. So portability is
inevitably,
is paramount. But then you're stuck with a small screen.
And not necessarily, but
not
yeah.
But how are there OLED screens now, or the roller? Aren't they there?
Not yet. The answer is not yet. And of course, what you can do is, and this is true of the Mac iBook or whatever it's called. It's got a 12.5-inch display. You can go on the road with a teeny display, get back home, and plug it into what is it, Glenn? A 50-inch LCD display?
Yeah.
Yeah, just because it's a small computer doesn't mean it can't drive a giant screen, you know?
So maybe we...
At home, so when you use your little tiny laptop with a 12.5-inch display, or in Glenn's case, he's got this little, what's it called, an EE something?
EEPC from ASUS.
EEEPC. It's got a little, what is it, 9-inch display?
7-inch display.
7-inch display. Yeah. And he he can plug any kind of display he likes into it.
Right.
Where's that from? That sounds more like what I'm looking towards.
I got it at buy.com. The company is ASUS, A-S-U-S. And if you type in...
Just search on our website for ASUS. Let's see if that works.
I will. If you guys have any time, I know there's no time left, do a little review of that cute XO, the crank-up with the... it's got that really great black-and-white screen you can read out in full sunlight.
Is this the new one,
the child thing?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah,
I've got
I think
it here. Hold on.
In fact, I think you can still buy one for a child.
One laptop per child.
Oh, Rick told me about this.
And then you can buy one and you get one.
And then they send one to another child here.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen one in, I haven't held one in my hands. Have you?
No. Paul did.
Yeah, if it's the original one. So you're talking about something.
It's laptopgiving.org.
Uh-huh, that's it.
What I'm looking at is some new model you're talking about. The one I saw was colored green, has two little wireless antennas on it.
I think it's the same one. I read the review, and it sounded like the screen technology was patented, and it was completely readable in full sun, much better than anything LCDs had produced up to now.
You know what? Thank you, caller, because you've clarified something in my mind. I thought my dear friend Rick Silverman had lost his mind, or somebody at the Yankee swap meet we were at the other day, because they were saying this laptop for a child had this revolutionary display, and I'd seen the thing with its former incarnation, which was a conventional display. So what I was hearing...
Oh.
Yeah, take a look. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, right. I'm going to read up on about that. I know nothing about it.
And you know what? When I just...
Wait a second. Wrong site.
When laptop, I clicked on their XO laptop, they're actually showing a color screen. At least their color images on the screen.
Yeah, you can switch.
Okay.
You can switch between inside color, which is, I think it's like a 480... It's not the greatest resolution, but it's acceptable. And to the outside screen, which is this revolutionary... extremely good color. It's contrast.
And will be used in bright conditions.
And you know what? If you get a small LCD screen on a smaller computer, there's something called, it was an amazing invention, I'm not sure when it came out, glasses. Spectacles.
Oh, LCD spectacles?
No, just...
You need spectacles.
You need spectacles, and you can see the screen.
Oh, you can do that!
And smaller.
Oh.
And you know what you do? You get a conventional display and peel... the Polaroids, and then you can only read them wearing sunglasses.
Well, listen, there's got to be some need for that in libraries because there's just way too much exposure of what you're reading and what someone else is reading to the rest of the public who's walking by. And I know it's...
This is a trippy party trick. If you can still get those little LCD watches and open them up and peel the Polaroid off, it's like... It's such a party trick, you wouldn't believe it. Like, put these glasses on, you can read the time. If you like that kind of thing.
Thanks for calling in.
Hey, all right. Thanks so much for your show. I listen to it every week. Happy New Year.
Great.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Yeah. We're going to actually have to get going. I'm sorry, caller, we can't take this last call. We've got to make room for John Rumsey coming in. And John's going to be here for the rock and roll party this afternoon, closing out the new year, getting you started with some great music, getting ready for tonight. But there's going to be rock and rolling all over town, isn't there, John?
Jimmy's playing at the tack room.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if John's going to say it, but I always enjoy Jimmy Carter's here. I'm going to play rock and roll until my head caves in.
That's why I'm here.
And we do want to take a moment to thank all of you for being loyal, wonderful, supportive KVMR supporters, and also Ohmsoft Technologies, a regional family-owned internet service provider started by UCD students in 1997. Providing internet services to suit individual needs, giving priority to customer privacy. More information at ohmsoft.com. Ohmsoft, the enlightened internet solution.
We've got a few minutes to babble about a couple of things. One was I didn't really sum stuff up. It's very quickly summed up. AVG is the best antivirus, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Firefox, the best browser. Killer software is Thunderbird, the email program. Can't beat it.
Right. Spybot Search and Destroy and AdAware from LavaSoft.
All listed on our site. I never got around to. I'll do it when I get back, or hopefully Alex might do it for us, which is to list some of the things we talked about as the best of this year.
Mm-hmm.
The things we talked about you can search for because we've done shows where we reviewed some of this stuff. Hardware-wise, I've got to go for the iPod. It's still 80% of the portable music market, and for a good reason, which is... while it's not proprietary, Apple just seemed to do it right. So portable music player, I paid extra for my iPod, and I love it. Hardware-wise, that's still wonderful.
Maybe something to talk about for the next show. I heard somebody got a new iTouch for Christmas?
The only reason I didn't get one of those is because they're only made with flash memory and can only store currently 8 and maybe 16 right. gigabytes of stuff. My iPod Classic is 160
gigabytes.
Yes.
They got on the internet with it.
So it's got wireless in it?
Apparently.
Yeah, I did look at one and I liked it, but my needs are that not just for the music, but I use my iPod for backing up my data and stuff. So there's enough room on there for more than just music and pictures and videos and stuff. And I was going to ramble on wonderfully about something else. Oh, I still love my Trio, but I hate the version they came out with, which is the Palm Trio Combo Cell Phone Organizer. For some insane reason, they came out and put Windows Portable on it instead of the Palm operating system. An absolute nightmare. So I still like the Trio, if only for not for the operating system Windows on it. There is a new one out now that's colored orange, I think it is. If you go to palm.com, you can see it out there. That's it. We love you for listening, and we'll be here for you next year with your computer and technology questions, and we're going to fire up Mr. Rumsey and see what the heck he's got on. Take care, guys. Bye for now.